Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, December 11th. I'm Abby Larico. We're digging into one of the week's big stories. New research shows a program giving hundreds of St. Louis families $500 a month for a year and a half had positive results. But the outcome was complicated by a lawsuit and other crises.
So the purpose of these programs is not to say we helped everyone in 18 months, but to say, look what 18 months can do.
The Midwest Newsroom takes a look at how guaranteed basic income helped St. Louisans and what happened when the funding paused, then stopped. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Vandals have dug up $19,000 worth of bronze plaques at a St. Louis pet memorial park. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports police are now monitoring the property.
The Humane Society of Missouri operates the Carol Gates Troop Memorial Park on Mackland Avenue. Pet owners can purchase bricks and plaques to memorialize their deceased pets. The park also includes a pet run where volunteers walk dogs available for adoption. This week, volunteers noticed 54 bronze bricks had disappeared. Laura Keller's communication officer for the Humane Society of Missouri. She says workers are determining which bricks are missing so they can be remade and placed back in the park.
Hopefully we'll put them back in the exact same place that they were, but we'll be working with the families to ensure that they're satisfied with the replacement.
Keller says no other parts of the park appear to have been disturbed. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
An owner of a South St. Louis gay bar that was hit by a St. Louis police officer's car in 2023 filed a lawsuit yesterday against the officers and the city. Bar PM co-owner Chad Morris says in a suit that he was physically assaulted by officers during the incident. Morris claims police arrested and seized him without probable cause and caused emotional distress. Police say the driver admitted to being distracted by the in-car radio. Police had alleged Morris resisted arrest and accused him of assault. Morris says the charges were made up to cover up the assault. A judge threw out the case 2 months ago. Javad Kazali is representing Morris.
Two men who did nothing wrong have had to worry about being split up with one of them being sent to jail for doing nothing wrong.
Kazali is also representing Morris's husband in a civil suit against several of the officers and the city. The St. Louis County Jail has been riddled with moldy showers and dirty conditions. That's according to an inspection by the American Correctional Association. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has details.
ACA inspectors visited the Clayton facility in September and warned leaders to improve conditions at the jail or risk losing their accreditation. The St. Louis County Justice Center received the designation in 2022, but the failed inspection revealed inadequate staffing, poor food maintenance, and a crumbling building infrastructure. Jail Director Jonelle Coleman says the 27-year-old building is nearing the end of a 30-year lifespan. She says at least $36 million are needed for critical improvements. Jail leaders say they've been training staff and increasing cleaning crews in an effort to keep their accreditation. Inspectors will return next spring to check on progress. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Legislation set for a final vote this week at the St. Louis Board of Aldermen would decrease the cost of running for office in the city. Ninth Ward Alderman Michael Browning's bill sets the filing fee for aldermen at $100. It's currently 1% of an alderperson's salary, or about $720. But Browning says it's now more expensive to run for the board than it is to run for U.S. Senate.
We're hoping that we'll see not only more people be able to file for office, but also have a more equitable approach to this, where you don't have to pay a month's rent to just file and be on the ballot.
Browning was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. The legislation also sets out what happens in case of a tie and requires primary elections even when two or fewer candidates file for an office. Do you remember that cavernous sinkhole that formed right in the middle of a park in Alton? It happened nearly a year and a half ago. Now the city needs the water that's filled it taken out. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, it's not been determined who will cover that cost, the city or a mining company.
It's estimated the process to remove the water from the massive sinkhole will cost between $35,000 and $53,000. The mine company, New Frontier Materials, has plans to repair the soccer field and fill the hole, but the city wants their engineers to check that work. Alton Mayor David Goen says it's still being worked out who will cover the costs. He compares the city's progress to a freight train, slow at the start.
The dewatering of the hole is the train beginning to move. And then once they're able to do their readings and do their investigation in the sinkhole to determine if there's any movement, if there's any shifting in the sinkhole, that then gives us more momentum.
Goins would like the water out as soon as possible. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your support ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local news. Give now at stlpr.org.
In the fall of 2023, 540 St. Louis families were selected to receive $500 a month for a year and a half. The Guaranteed Basic Income Program, or GBI, aimed to help low-income residents meet basic financial needs. But halfway through the program, a lawsuit temporarily paused the payments. Then other crises hit. The Midwest Newsroom's Naomi Delkamiller reports.
Melani Jones lives in an apartment above a vacant Baptist church in South St. Louis. The single mother of four works part-time as a restaurant hostess.
Nice to meet you, Melani.
She says things felt easier just 6 months ago when she was receiving monthly payments through the city's GBI program. She used the extra $500 to pay for electricity and groceries.
It helped out my family more than a notion. Every month, I knew, so to speak, that we would, you know, that would be, that income would be coming in.
Across the country, 39 cities and counties used pandemic-era relief funding to support similar programs. The St. Louis GBI pilot was the first program of its kind in Missouri. City officials saw it as a way to reduce poverty and increase economic stability through direct payments to families. St. Louis Treasurer Adam Lane says it was also a chance to test whether a longer-term guaranteed income program could work.
So the purpose of these programs is not to say we helped everyone in 18 months, but to say, look what 18 months can do.
Washington University researcher Stephen Roll led a study on the St. Louis pilot. His team found the GBI program had positive impacts on families, like improved credit scores, higher savings, and reduced food insecurity.
It's good. That's what we want to see. But it's also not hugely unexpected. In this case, what was so interesting about this is just the immediate response that we saw from the temporary payment pause.
6 months into the program, local nonprofit Holy Joe Society sued the city, arguing the state constitution restricts giving public funds to private individuals. A judge issued a temporary injunction. It took a month before the city found a private philanthropic partner to continue funding the program.
Within that month, we saw payment delinquencies spike and credit scores start to decline again, reversing some of the progress they made. And I think that really speaks to, you know, the fact that for a lot of these folks, they're living incredibly precarious economic lives.
The pause put Jones behind on bills and her car was repossessed. Other participants said they weren't able to pay for childcare, and one participant said they lost their house. The program resumed until its planned end date in May 2025, just when a tornado hit the city and damaged homes of participants. Then a government shutdown limited SNAP for weeks. City Treasurer Lane says these challenges, along with rising living costs and low wages, are a reason local governments need the ability to provide direct cash assistance.
So I think it's an opportunity to also work with our state legislators to update some of these ordinances and policies and statutes that do limit municipalities' abilities to move communities forward.
The plaintiffs want to permanently stop direct cash assistance from the city. Other states have banned GBI programs entirely. For now, Jones says she wishes it could continue.
Just kind of like fell behind, still playing catch up after all this time.
One Illinois county recently established the country's first permanent county-level GBI program. It could offer insight into what happens when this kind of monetary support continues long-term. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Naomi Delkmiller.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and public radio stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.